Jenny, come and read to us from Philippians chapter 4.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you.
Thank you. Life. What does life mean? Well, I reckon to some people, life is a sentence. For others, it's something to endure. For some, it's an adventure to enjoy. Or a journey. Or fill in the dots. I need feedback here this morning. What's the instant reaction when you think of the word life?
Precious.
Precious.
Well, to me, it's getting to know God more and more.
Getting to know God more and more. Others.
Sometimes it's all of those things, not just about it being one.
It's not.
Days vary.
Absolutely. It can be all of those things at once, or none. Rejoice always has been the theme of our worship so far this morning, and we want to do that as we live through life. Let's snooze that for a minute. A few weeks ago, when I was thinking about this service, I was pretty sure I knew what the subject of this morning's message was going to be. But then at the beginning of this week, I read the passage again, and another aspect came out, and I thought, oh dear, now what? So today's sermon is in two parts, both fairly short, none of them more than 25 minutes long. None of them are anywhere near that, I think. But I trust they'll be useful to us. Trust they'll speak to us. So in that passage, Paul seems to claim in verse 9 that he's given some perfect teaching. Or perfect example to the people. Actually, I've got it here. He says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, I'm not saying that whatever you've learned or received or heard from me in the same way as Paul did is perfect. Far from it. But hopefully, as we come together, as we learn together, there's something from God in it. When anyone brings a word of prophecy or a word of teaching or comes up to us and encourages us with something that is from God, how do I put this? We should weigh it. We should test it. So I hope this morning you'll think about what's said and you'll go away and you'll think about it some more and see how much it is applicable. because the bad news is that 100% of it will not be from God. Some of who we are, some of what we are, will creep into it. No sermon will be 100%, no word of prophecy will be 100% God, because we're human. And our agenda or our experience or our personality will affect, will colour what we bring. But the good news is, equally, if we're seeking God, then it won't be 100% of us either. There'll be something of God in it. And I don't know about you, but if someone's got a message from God for me and only 5% of it or 10% of it or 20% of it is from God, then I want to hear it. It's my job to weigh it if I'm the receiver. To test it. It's not the messenger's job. When the postman or the post lady, more recently in our case, comes to brings mail to our front door, I'm pretty sure that he or she has a good idea how much of it will go pretty quickly into that round recycling bin. It's not their job, though, to decide. It's their job to deliver the mail to the house. And it's my responsibility or Anne's responsibility to sort it and to dispose of it or deal with it accordingly. And it's the same when we bring something from God. Okay, we need to be wise in how we bring it and the timing of it. But it's up to the receiver to test it. Anne and I met many, many, many years ago while we were studying at what is now Brighton University. And when we were there, there was one person in the Christian Union whose opening line was often, God has told me that... I have to confess that my inward, if not my outward, feeling at the time and the response was, well, he hasn't told me that yet. And this girl, young woman, always spoke in that way. And others felt the same too, as we did. And I'm pretty sure that if she'd said, I'm not sure, but, you know, but my sense is that God might be saying this, we'd have listened a bit more carefully. Or even, I believe God's saying, then the response from us would have been different, and so on. So what I want to say to you in the first part of this morning's message is, don't hang back. Don't hold back from saying things just because it's difficult. But equally, be sensitive and wise in how you bring things. Or you'll be like Anne and I and others were many years ago in Brighton. Probably still are today, to be honest, sometimes. And then thirdly, weigh what you hear. Weigh what you hear. Think about it, test it, ask God about it. Check out whether it's right or not. And how much of it he's saying to you. Yeah, I said it wouldn't be 25 minutes, didn't I? That's the first part. And we're going to, if I can find my order of service now, we're going to sing again. Now, when I suggested the hymn that we're going to sing, there was a little bit of rebellion at times. But we're singing a new version of an old hymn. Now, when peace like a river attends my way. With the words on. And when sorrows like sea billows roll, then whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Okay. What do we think of when we see that word? Peace. Quietness. What else?
Absence of conflict.
Absence of conflict. You've been cheating. Exactly the same word in absence of conflict. Other things, come on. Calm. Keep going. I haven't got that out there. Howard, what do you think of?
I was going to say calmness, really, isn't
it? Good. And here's a couple of others that I thought of. Time away from the rush of everyday life. Probably just another way of expressing calm and quiet. Maybe an inner calm. And maybe other things too. An inner calm often that's there despite what's going on around us. So much to do, so little time to do it. Busy, busy, busy. And on top of that, there are the anxious thoughts, maybe even fears of the unknown, fears of the anticipated, or fears of the known, and so on. Paul, in this passage that we read at the beginning, or had read to us at the beginning, Philippians 4, addresses these feelings. Let's read it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. It's okay for you, Paul. You don't understand my situation. How can I rejoice when I'm facing all this stuff? But Paul goes on. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. Instead of take those anxious thoughts to God in prayer. Do you see what the promise is? First of all, it's not a promise that everything will suddenly get better and it will all work out well. But it is a promise that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or to paraphrase that, God's peace, which I just can't understand, which I can't get my head round, which, despite every way of trying to think about it, I still don't understand, will guard my heart, will be with me, will be there to keep me through the storm. David in Psalm 23 expresses some of that when he talks about walking through the darkest valley in the version that we read, or through the valley of the shadow of death, as the Authorized Version puts it. God with him. The peace of God will guard you. What could be better than that? So much better than all the comfort that people can bring. Think of Job's comforters who came to him in the midst of great difficulty, great times of loss. And they tried and they tried and they tried, but they couldn't bring him comfort. So much better than worrying. So much better than fill in the blanks yourself. Now this is where it gets dangerous, because when I say this next bit, you might think of stoning me for heresy, but I hope not. Just hold back a bit, because I want to tell you there is something better than the peace of God with you. What? Let's look at verse 8. I reckon that peace of God's worth at least a thumbs up, don't you? It's not a very good thumb up, I know, but there is something better. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, you can read the words. He's encouraging us to think about the true stuff, the pure stuff, the noble stuff, the admirable stuff, the brilliant stuff, the stuff that does help rather than that which doesn't, rather than worrying about things that we can't change. But more than that, he's saying, when you've thought about it, think about what you've learnt and put it into practice. Hey, come on, Paul, that's not fair. You mean I can think about it up here, but it's got to move from my head to my heart and out through what I do? Well, yes. And here's the promise that's even better than the previous one, better than the peace of God. Because the God of peace will be with us. It doesn't just say the peace of God will guard you, but the God of peace will be with you. And I have to say, wow. I think that's somewhat mind-blowing. If the peace of God guarding us is worth one thumbs up, I think the God of peace with us is worth at least two thumbs up. And I haven't got more than two thumbs.
Join you, shall we?
Yes. I think so. That's a good idea, Mary. God of peace with us. I love the peace that God brings into my heart. But it's even better when the God of peace is there himself. I started earlier on today with saying life, it's a journey. And I was on a journey recently. Blank that out for a minute. I needed to have a map with me. Well, actually, it's a chart. It's a chart with all sorts of information on it. There's a lot of information there. But I didn't need all of it. But I had to have it with me. It was a legal requirement. Fortunately, I had an electronic version on my iPad. And here's the bit that I was interested in. There's still an awful lot of information there, isn't there? But I was taking a journey from up here in the top left to down here in the bottom right. Let's simplify it. Well, before I do simplify it, the stuff on there that talks about danger areas, the stuff on there about controlled airspace, the stuff about ground hazards, things that would assist on the journey too, things that you can look out for to make sure you know where you are. But I will simplify it, because I was flying from I was flying from Clench Common up here, just below Marlborough, to Popham, just on the, in Hampshire. And to be honest, it's quite a straightforward journey. It's about 22 miles in a straight line. And here's the route I actually took. Not quite straight, but there's a wiggle at the beginning and a wiggle at the end, which were all about procedural things. Let's concentrate on the middle bit and superimpose them together and just get the middle bit up. There we are. You can see that we were pretty close to the line. External forces, though, in this case a wind from the southwest, came to bear on us. And, well, we wandered off a bit. And as we wandered off, I had this voice in my ears saying, "You're going a bit off course, Dave. We're heading too far north, Dave." And I listened to that voice. And I turned back and made a correction and know a little bit more. And we got back on track. And we followed that track for a while. And then down here, we wandered off again. Did I lose concentration? Was it a lack of vision of where things were? Because it was very hazy. It was hard to focus on things in the distance. But again, that voice came. And we got back on track again. And then we started wandering the other way. Did we overcorrect for the wind? I don't know. Did I lose vision? Maybe. Did I suddenly spot something that I needed to go around? Maybe, but the voice came back again to say, "Get back on track. You're too far south." A need for a gentle correction. Not a rapid turn around and go back and try again, but a gentle correction to what was happening. We arrived at our journey. And the journey back again was much straighter because the vision was clearer. We could see further. That just reminded me of a verse from Jeremiah, from Isaiah, not Jeremiah, from chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah, when talking to the people of Israel about their need to keep on track with God, said, when you go to the left, or when you go to the right, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We won't get it right all the time. Sometimes we will be a bit off track in our lives. But it's only by recognizing that we can make small corrections on the course to get back on track that we can help each other, and we can help each other do that. We need in our lives to make changes sometimes. We need to hear that small voice from others or from God. In my case, that voice in my ears was from Barry, who was sitting in the other seat saying, you're off track, Dave. Not quite like that, but that's what he was saying. But we need to hear it from each other. We need to hear it from God. The peace of God will guard us. The God of peace will be with us. We don't need to panic. We don't need to worry. We don't need to get upset. We need to recognize God's peace with us. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Father, if we're honest with you, and what point is there being anything else, because you know anyway. But if we're honest with you, there are times when we do wander, when we do get things wrong, or when we don't follow the best course in life. Help us to tune in to hear your gentle voice saying, not quite that way, Dave. Not quite that way. Turn a little bit back to the left or to the right. Get back on track. Help us to respond to you, to your word. Help us too to be that voice for others, perhaps, gently, to share your love, your direction, your peace. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Your peace is with us, but you are with us too. Help us to stand on your promises.